Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Baseball America podcast. My name is Ben Badler, and I'm joined today along with Aaron Fitt. If you have been on baseballamerica.com recently, you've noticed we just finished rolling out our American League top 10 prospects list by team. We finished off with the AL West, and I think that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. Aaron, of course, did the Texas Rangers system this year, and I did the Oakland Athletics. Aaron, you know, you look at the top of the system, and number one, Neftali Feliz, and number two, Derek Holland, two real power arms that the Rangers have. For you, you know, when you stack those guys up at the top, and then obviously Justin Smoke, number three, the first-round draft pick this year, and just a whole bunch of talent in that top 10. You know, some of these guys, it looks like, you know, if you put them in some of the thinner farm systems in baseball, you know, these guys, you know, a Taylor Teagarden at six or a Michael Maine at eight, you put them in another system, maybe these guys rank a little bit higher. But the Ranger system, kind of like the A system, just seems so deep this year. So for a guy like Feliz and Holland to be 1-2, it seems like those guys have to be really pretty elite guys in your mind. You know, how did you kind of go about sorting out the top guys in this group?
Well, Ben, it was an interesting process, and before I go any further, let me say, first of all, how great it is to be here on the Baseball America podcast with Ben Badler for the first time ever. I think this is our first podcast together, so it's I'm looking forward to it. Let's get right to it, Ben. I think you made a great point there. This is it's a very deep system. I think there probably are seven or eight guys, maybe six or seven guys here where you could consider number one caliber prospects maybe in a particularly weak organization. I mean, I think some systems would have Taylor Teagarden number one. I think some systems would maybe even have like a Michael Maine number one. You know, people like Michael Maine quite a bit. I think actually there was some surprise maybe from Rangers fans of seeing him only number eight, because Rangers fans have read a lot lately about Michael Maine's performance in instructional league. He's got an electric arm, there's no question. He's run that velocity up to 96 miles an hour, and he's got feel for really good feel for a curveball and a changeup. So very good prospect, and he's number eight. It tells you a lot about this system. But to answer your question, Ben, Feliz and Holland are elite guys. There's no other way to put it. I don't know where they're going to be in our top 100, but I think they should be pretty darn high, because I think Feliz has a real chance to be a legitimate number one starter in the big leagues, and those guys are rare. I think most teams don't have a legitimate number one starter in the big leagues right now. I think there's only a handful of them out there, true number one guys. And he's got a chance for an 80 fastball, and that's, again, something we don't throw around lightly. You don't throw around 80 grades on the 20-80 scale too often. But it's a combination of the velocity, you know, 97 miles an hour, sometimes 100, 101. I mean, he sits easily 94, 96, and it's effortless, and it explodes. A lot of natural, boring life to it. That, first of all, is the separator with Feliz. And he's got feel for the secondary stuff. I understand he's still developing the secondary stuff. Maybe that's why he's not, you know, in the big leagues right now. He's still a young guy. He's still working on that stuff. But you can see the makings of a plus breaking ball, and the changeup as well. So I think he's really going to be one of those very rare number one starter types. I've got Holland as kind of like a as a left-hander in the Scott Kazmir mold, except I think the changeup will be his number two pitch, whereas Kazmir relies more on the slider. So we're talking about a couple of front-of-the-rotation guys here. And Smoke, of course, I think I said in the chat the other day, I believe is a can't-miss guy. I think he's destined to hit 30, 40 home runs in the big leagues, and play excellent defense, and he's a switch hitter, and I just cannot envision a scenario where he doesn't reach the big leagues and be at least a solid everyday player at minimum. Hey, I've been wrong before, but I feel pretty good about this one.
Yeah, Aaron, it's obviously have an interesting perspective on Smoke. Obviously, if you're familiar with our coverage of Baseball America, you know Aaron is our college editor. You know, following Justin Smoke for 3 years at South Carolina, you know, seeing him slip a little bit in the draft, it seems like everyone is really high on Justin Smoke. And by slip, I obviously mean slip not that far to the obviously the 11th overall pick in the draft is certainly no slight on anyone's talent, but you know, it seems like a lot of guys, including yourself, from what you said in the chat yesterday, seems like a lot of guys are higher on Smoke than even some of the guys who are taken ahead of him. You know, what is it that that really stands out to you about Smoke that makes him so special? Is it the power, the defense, just the total package and the polish? What is it? What is it exactly with Justin Smoke?
Well, I think it's all those things you mentioned. I think he really is a Mark Teixeira type player, and Teixeira, of course, might end up being a $200 million player this offseason. I see Smoke as a very similar tool set, and maybe not quite the ability to hit for average that Teixeira has. I think Smoke will be maybe more of a 280 to 300 type hitter, but he certainly can handle the bat from both sides, and he certainly has that plus power. You know, those are big time tools. I just think there's a lot to like there. And the other thing about this system, Ben, is I think the there's some debate out there in the baseball community about the value of an Elvis Andrus, value of a Martin Perez. I know that there are people out there who don't believe that Andrus is ever going to be a frontline player. I frankly don't see what's not to like about this guy. I mean, I think that he's handled the bat at every step. For a guy who's young for his level, I mean, yeah, he's not hitting for a lot of power, but you can see it. He's at least going to be a gap guy. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be a home run hitter. I don't think anyone thinks that. But he can be a very serviceable player who can give you, 5 to 10 homers a year and 30 doubles. And I do think he's going to play Gold Glove kind of defense. I understand he's made some errors so far. He's a young guy. That's nothing to be concerned about because the tools are there. So I think Andrus is going to be a frontline player. I don't know how you feel about Elvis from your experience in the minor leagues.
Well, I'm completely with you on that one, Aaron. Andrus, if you look at the history of guys who were teenagers in Double A, some of them hit, some of them didn't. You know, Andrus just put up for a shortstop to be hitting .295 with a .350 on base percentage, and in Double A as a 19-year-old is really outstanding. I mean, that. I don't have the league averages in front of me right now, but my guess just from knowing the Texas League is that's probably about league average for a Texas League shortstop right now, and he's 19 years old. Most of those guys are probably anywhere from 22 to 26, 27 years old. So he's well ahead of the curve. He has the athleticism, the bat speed. Scouts seem to like the swing. You know, he has some stuff to learn, but when you have a guy who's 19 years old and in Double A, and you're just going to look at he's not hitting for so much power right now. It's really going to obfuscate a lot of the numbers and a lot of the things that you see on the field. But when you see the tools there, you see how advanced he is. He's certainly not a can't miss guy if there is such a thing as that. But he certainly has a high ceiling, and I think it's a little premature to be getting too down on Elvis Andrus. I certainly think he can be an average to well above average major leaguer in time. And I think the other thing here is, Andrus and Perez and Beltre and, there's a lot of international talent in this system. Some of it brought in from trade, some of it brought in, from their own international scouting, such as, Martin Perez. Now certainly the other guy, the new international arm they're bringing in is Carlos Melo. Actually, not sure if it's Melo or Milo, or I'm sure Carmelo will probably stick pretty soon for him. But another power arm that the Rangers just acquired, kind of sorting out their catching surplus here. So now, if you've obviously heard by it at this point that Gerald Laird traded for Carlos Melo and Guillermo Moscoso, a lot of Latin names tying my tongue here today, Aaron. So it seems like the Rangers' catching situation is starting to get sorted out, but still have Jared Saltalamacchia, Taylor Teagarden at number 6. Obviously, Saltalamacchia no longer a prospect by our official standards, but still certainly a very young catcher who still hasn't quite proven himself, but still has a lot of potential in the big leagues. You put Taylor Teagarden at 6, Max Ramirez at 10. How would you kind of sort out the Rangers' catching situation right now, and what's kind of your take on that?
Well, I think Teagarden is the guy that they internally view as the catcher of the future. I mean, he's I think the best combination of everything you really would look for in a big league catcher, because he's the best defender of this group. He's got the The leadership skills, he calls a good game. I think he's going to have, and I think I said this in the chat again yesterday, he's going to have a Veritek kind of an influence on a pitching staff. And you hear so much about with the Red Sox, you know, during their recent run, how much the pitchers really believed in Veritek and how good he was on that staff. I think Teagarden is that kind of guy. You know, it's one thing we've heard about it for years now, since this guy was in college, how good he is with a pitching staff. And I remember talking to scouts, you know, who saw him in the regional when he was at Texas, and he looked like a big leaguer. He carried himself like a big leaguer. You know, he just was a little bit different than everybody else on the field. I think he's just one of those special guys. And offensively, you know, I mean, I don't think he's got, obviously, Jared Saltalamacki's upside or Max Ramirez's. But I do think he's got power. He's shown it in his career. I think he can be a 20 home run kind of guy in the big leagues. Maybe he won't hit for a lot of average, but he can hit 250, 260 and get on base for you. He's got a patient approach. So I think he's the guy. I think he's the guy they're going to build around. I would expect them to deal either Saltalamacki or Ramirez this offseason. My money's on Saltalamacki. We'll see. I mean, I don't think that it's not a bad problem to have, to go into camp with too many big league ready catchers. So they can kind of take their time and wait for the right offer to come to them. There's no reason for them to take less than these guys are worth. But you made the point that they've done a good job already, kind of transforming their surplus into more prospects, and I think that we're going to see more of that. And the other point you made was the international efforts. And you know, there's a lot more on the way. You know, of course, I think we both have a lot of respect for A.J. Preller, their international scouting director, and his staff down there. You know, they've got guys just outside the top 10, for instance, like Wilfredo Boscan, who I think is really an exciting prospect, man. I think he's going to jump up next year into this kind of elite group. You know, Perez, of course, we haven't really talked much about, but maybe a surprise to see him at number 5 on this list with just a year of in Spokane under his belt. But, you know, it's easy to see a guy who's 17 years old and in short season ball and think he's a long way away. He's, you know, a real risk. But, you know, I think he's going to move pretty quickly, and I think he's fairly safe for a guy his age at his level, because he's got a clean delivery. He's got advanced feel for pitching. That, to me, is what I like to see in a young pitcher, more than even a guy who throws 100 miles an hour like Wilmer Font. I'd rather, obviously, have Martin Perez. So just kind of floating around talking about some of these things you talked about.
And when you see a guy, too, who's young, obviously you think maybe he's a little more risk. And then certainly when he's that far away from the big leagues, you know, the more years you're away, the higher the risk. But, you know, when you see a 17-year-old kid who already has a compact delivery, good clean arm action, and the ability to spin that breaking ball already, you know, to be a plus pitch, there's a little less risk than, you know, a guy like Wilmer Font, who, you know, maybe a little bit more raw and unrefined, you know, maybe a little bit more, or not necessarily Font in particular, but, you know, just in the abstract, a guy who's, you know, has a little bit trouble showing the ability to spin a breaking ball, or, you know, maybe a little bit more questionable arm action. So Certainly Perez is, you know, like you mentioned, he's young, but there's a lot of good durable parts to him and a lot of projection and, you know, a lot of solid things to certainly like about him. You know, looking obviously one of the strengths of the Ranger system is the depth in the system too. You know, in the 11 to 30 range, obviously it's available in the Baseball America Prospect Handbook that should be coming out. Well, we go to press with it at the end of this month in December. It should be ready in 2009. It's available now to order on baseballamerica.com, of course.
Good job with that plug, Ben.
Did I sell it
well? You nailed it. I think you nailed it.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, in the 11 to 30 range, you know, there's certainly a lot of guys there who, you know, jump up every year, guys who are in the 11 to 30 range in a system. You can go look back and you can say, wow, how did this guy rank at number 15? But maybe they're just a little bit younger or in a stacked system like the Rangers. You know, who's a guy who, you know, maybe ranked in that 11 to 30 range, so you could see, you know, moving up higher next year in the system and maybe ranking in that top 10.
Well, you know, I talked about briefly Wilfredo Boscan, who I think fits that description as a young right-hander with a loose delivery and really good feel for three-pitch mix. But the other guy I would throw into that mix is Joe Wieland, the young right-hander who's, I think, a fourth-round pick this year out of high school. He's a guy that the Rangers are incredibly excited about. And Robbie Ross is the other guy, who they gave a seven-figure bonus to as a second-round pick as a high school left-hander out of Kentucky. He was a little bit lower down on this list just because, you know, some Rangers officials weren't blown away by their first look at him, but don't write the guy off. He has shown electric stuff in the past. So those are three guys that I think could jump up, Ben. But, one thing I think we've talked about some things that there have been some debate about in the scouting community or what have you. I think there's some debate about which is the best farm system right now in baseball. And the Rangers, of course, are in that discussion. You, of course, did the top 10 and top 30 prospects list for the Oakland A's, which is probably the other team that's in this discussion. And I'm curious, Ben, what jumps out to you when you look at the A's, and especially when you compare them with the Rangers? But what do you think are the real strengths of this system? I mean, where do you come down in this debate?
Well, I think for the A's, the strength of the system is pretty clearly the pitching. I mean, you look at the rotation that's going to be in their AAA club next year to start 2009. You know, we could be talking about a rotation of Brett Anderson, the number one prospect, Trevor Cahill, the number two prospect, possibly Gio Gonzalez. He might be in the big leagues. He was the number seven. But then you're also going to have Vin Mazzaro, number eight prospect, James Simmons, the number 10 prospect. So you could have a AAA pitching rotation with four of your top 10 prospects in it. And this is as one of the best farm systems in baseball. That's saying a lot. So I think you look at the pitching that the A's have, you know, that certainly stands out. Obviously, you have Michael Ono as well, very, very far down the ladder, but he's another guy who could move a very I'm not comparing him to Perez, but only in the sense that they do have good deliveries, ability to spin the breaking stuff, so it's not like they're raw talents. And you look at some of the other arms in the system, guys like Josh Outman, Faustino de los Santos, Henry Rodriguez. You know, there's a lot of arms in that system. Tyson Ross, Brent Hunter, guys they just infused in from the draft. Daniel Thomas, another kid who was just throwing 98 miles an hour at his max velocity. Another kid that they drafted. So there's a lot of high impact arms in the system. You know, in terms of how they stack up with the Rangers, I'm gonna cop out on this one, Aaron. I gotta say it's a little early for me to just kind of grade out and kind of give them a 1-2 or say exactly where they rank, just to before we get all the information in, I just like to see everything. So, but in terms of the top two guys, me personally, I kind of prefer Anderson and Cahill to Feliz and Holland. I just think Anderson and Cahill are probably, in my mind, two of the top five or so pitching prospects in baseball. Obviously, Anderson, the elite command, the polish that he has, barely walks anybody, just pounds a strike zone. It's not like he's throwing the ball down the middle of the plate. He's painting the black inside, outside. And it's not with fringy stuff either. He's got, a good fastball. It'll sit about average, 88, 92, but he can get it up there to about 94 or so when he really needs to. He really hasn't needed to yet. He has above average breaking stuff. His changeup could be another above average pitch. Didn't really have to throw it much in the lower minors, but he did throw it a little bit more when he got to Double-A. And Cahill, I put him number two. Obviously, if you wanted to put him number one, to me, hey, no problem there. Anderson had a little bit of an edge for me because of his polish and his command, whereas Cahill is, probably arguably one of the best sinkers in baseball. And when you combine that with his curveball, which some scouts say is as good as a plus-plus pitch, that's about as good of a two-pitch combo as you'll find in the game. You know, the one hesitation I had with Cahill is, a little bit of a – it's a good delivery. It's simple. It's compact. He has good balance. The one thing with him is, he cuts off his extension a little short out in the front. That puts a little bit more strain on the back of the arm and the back of the shoulder there. And he did kind of tweak his back or his intercostal muscle a little bit at the Olympics and didn't really throw in instructs. Maybe those two are interrelated. And he does have the command is good. It's not like Anderson's command. So to me, that set him a tick behind Anderson. But, like I said before, I think these are two of the top five pitching prospects in baseball. So it's certainly I don't have too many concerns with Trevor Cahill.
Well, here's when I look at these 1-2 punches, Ben, the thing I think that sets Anderson and Cahill apart a little bit would be their secondary stuff. I feel like both these guys have better breaking balls than Feliz and Holland, at least at this point. And you probably could project both of them, I think, to be better as well. But the thing I would go with Feliz and Holland in this debate, and here's why. I think we're talking about two guys, especially Feliz, who are just incredibly rare talents, and mostly I'm talking about the fastballs here. I'm a fastball guy, and Feliz has, I think, will have one of the best fastballs in baseball. I mean, it's, I understand, Anderson commands his very well, and Cahill's got that sinker, and they're both good, but they can't really match Feliz for velocity, and when you find the fact that Feliz has the life on it, too, that just gives him, a higher ceiling than either of these guys. And whether or not he reaches that ceiling will depend, I guess, on how he develops the secondary stuff. Holland, again, when I compare him to Anderson, I think Anderson's got certainly better command. Holland also has very good command. He's a strike thrower.
Excellent command, yeah.
But he's got to develop that slider a little bit. I mean, he made progress with it this year, but it's not in the same class right now as Anderson's curveball. I think Anderson certainly is a little bit safer than Holland. He is bigger, more physical, less chance maybe that he'll break down. Not that I think Holland is going to break down, but I think both those guys are comparable in terms of ceiling. I mean, I don't know that Holland is going to, reach 97, 98 too often as a starter, although he did that some this year. I think it really surprised the Rangers a lot. So I think, you can't go wrong either way. I'll take the Rangers guys. You can have the A's guys. If we're looking at the rest of these top 10s,
I feel like at number 3, it's really about as apples to oranges as you get.
Yeah.
Number 3 in the A's, Michael and Noah. Number 3 in the Rangers, Justin Smoke. Frankly, Justin Smoke, to me, when you put him against, I'll take the A's pitchers, the 1-2 over the Rangers 1-2. Justin Smoke, to me, when you look at all the hitters in this class between the Rangers and the A's, I think Justin Smoke is, to me, the best hitter. The A's do have some very good hitters. Aaron Cunningham, I believe in him. Adrian Cardenas, Chris Carter. Jamiah Lee, those are the top hitters in the system. Sean
right.
Doolittle, Josh Donaldson.
I'm a sucker for these college guys, Ben, especially Jamiah Weeks, who I just think is an explosive, dynamic player. In some ways comparable to the some of the explosive players the Rangers have. I mean, they're up the middle, elite athletes like Julio Borbón, Angel Beltre, of course. I mean, different kinds of players than Weeks, but the point is that both these systems have those kind of just elite athletes as well.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's kind of unique about these systems is, or I shouldn't say unique, but something that they have in common is that, they maybe haven't necessarily had the Rays have been our top organization in terms of our organizational talent rankings for a couple of years now. And, a lot of that isn't because they accumulated a lot of prospects from other organizations. It's just because they've been very, very, very bad at the major league level. And they've had very, very high draft picks. That said, they've also hit on those high draft picks. So that certainly helps when you're drafting guys like B.J. Upton and Evan Longoria, those
David
kinds
Price.
Of players. David Price, certainly. When you look at the Kansas City Royals and the Pittsburgh Pirates also drafting high, it certainly helps, and it's certainly a great help, but it's certainly not a surefire slam dunk guarantee of success. Whereas the A's and the Rangers, on the other hand, a lot of their talent, Brett Anderson, the top prospect, acquired from another organization. Neftali
yeah.
Feliz acquired from the Atlanta Braves. The Teixeira deal. There's a lot of trades that kind of infuse both of these systems with talent. So I certainly think that a lot of the credit has to go to the pro scouting departments of these organizations to be able to identify a lot of these talents. Certainly when you're unloading guys, you're bound to have a lot of talent. So I think it just circumstance a lot of times as well plays a key role in how your farm system ends up looking kind of at the end of the day here.
It's a great point, Ben, and like you said, I think those guys are The pro scouts are probably even more unsung than your amateur scouts. And look, just looking at the Rangers' top 10, four of the top 10 were acquired in trades. Feliz, Andrews, Beltre, and Max Ramirez. And, of course, Celso Lamacchia would have been in this group had he qualified. Would have been a fifth guy. So certainly, you know, both these systems have done a great job reinventing themselves through the trade.
And then, you know, just kind of a little bit more comparing and contrasting the A's and the Rangers. We will get to the Mariners and the Angels in a second, but obviously these are two of the best systems that we probably get the most email about how these two team systems stack up. You know, we talked about the Rangers list. You know, we look at the A's hitters. I think that might be the strength of the system certainly is for the A's is in the pitching. But, you know, Aaron Cunningham, an outfielder, almost major league ready outfielder. Matt Holliday might interfere with how, you know, his timetable to the big leagues, I'm sure. But, you know, he's a guy who I see being at least an average to above average big leaguer. You know, he's in center field right now. You know, maybe he sticks there. Maybe more likely he ends up in left field. You know, he's not going to be a big slugging type left fielder who you're used to seeing, like a Pat Burrell or any of these other drillions of slow prodding, you know, high on base power guys that you're going to see who give away as many runs on defense. You know, I'm sure someone will sign Raul Ibanez, for example, and you know, that's not Aaron Cunningham. Aaron Cunningham, if you move him to left field, his defense will be above average there, just because you look at the left fielders around baseball today and. They, except for maybe Carl Crawford and Matt Holliday, none of them can move basically. So he'll give you a little bit of a defensive advantage there. But I also believe in the bat. You know, he's a guy who can give you high on base percentage, moderate power. You know, he's not going to hit 30 to 40 home runs a year, but he could hit you 20 home runs and give you, you know, average slugging. That's average slugging for a corner outfielder if he can do that. And I think he can do that. You know, you look at some of the other bats in the system, like Weeks we talked about, Adrian Cardenas, Chris Carter, and obviously, you know, Carter and Doolittle, a couple of teammates at Stockton this year, and Doolittle obviously was moved up to Double A this year. You know, the strikeouts are a bit of a concern, but you know, for me, Chris Carter just has such tremendous power. It might just be 80 power on the 20 to 80 scouting scale. You know, guys talk about watching him in batting practice and just being really just in awe of what he can do. And, you know, obviously when you hit 39 home runs, you know, even in the California League, that's really going to stand out as one of the best power prospects in the minors.
Right.
You know, when you stack him up against, you know, the Rangers first baseman, a guy like Justin Smoke, you know, I'll take Smoke ahead of him. But certainly the A's have some talent as well. In terms of the hitters that they draft, or the hitters that they have in the farm system as well.
Ben, who's your? Let me ask you the same question you asked me. Who's your pick to click in that 11 through 30 range, or a guy or two who you think could jump up into that elite status next year?
You know, it's the A's actually have a lot of guys like that. It's kind of a mix of guys who are gonna, you know, be ready and be kind of have an impact on the big league team and maybe a. More of a role player type, maybe a middle reliever or a platoon bat. You know, a guy like Andrew Bailey, for example, or Andrew Kerrigan, a couple of guys who they have. You know, Jared Lansford, Sam Demel. They have some really good, you know,
experienced college power arms.
Thank you, Aaron. Experienced power college arms. So you know, you have those guys, and you know, you don't want to get too excited about guys who are relievers in the minor leagues, but you know, these are guys who eventually, you know, maybe not all of them, but you figure a couple of them will end up panning out and end up contributing to the big league team, to the big league bullpen one day. Another guy, Josh Outman, who acquired from the Philadelphia Phillies in the Joe Blanton trade. You know, he's a guy who was a starter. Philadelphia moved him to the bullpen. I think they wanted him to be a left-handed reliever and hopefully move up to the big league team this year. You know, he was 94 to 96, touching 97 out of the bullpen. He was 90 to 94 as a starter. The A's moved him back to as a starter and used him in relief too. You know, when you're 94 to 96 from the left side, that's a pretty knockout weapon that you have there.
Yeah.
So I think he could be a guy who's just kind of an interesting guy to follow and watch. And then certainly they were aggressive in aggressive in the draft this year and internationally, obviously, with Michael and Noah. One other guy, he probably won't even make the A's top 30, but Robin Rosario in the Dominican Summer League. Basically, Dominican Summer League players are kind of like what college players are to Aaron. That's what they are for me. I know Rosario held the illustrious title of being the holding the highest international amateur signing bonus from the in A's franchise history when he signed for $350,000 earlier in the year, and he held that title for a few months before this guy named Noah came along.
Right.
And I guess he signed for I don't know. I guess $4.25 million or so. But he's another guy too, who certainly could to a guy to watch to come over to the United States next year and maybe make a nice impact in the lower levels of the system immediately.
Well, we've kind of neglected the poor Angels and Mariners here, and I think with some reason, frankly, clearly the Rangers and Athletics are the dominant systems in this division and really in baseball. But what stands out to you? Let's start with the Angels, Ben. This is a system, obviously, that's had kind of reputation over the last decade or so, certainly the last 5 years, of being one of the better systems in baseball. I mean, they've developed a lot of players, and they've traded some players, not a lot of players, but they've done a good job with their drafting and I think with their development as well. But the cupboard is kind of bare now, I think, after the first couple of guys here. What stands out to you about this system?
I think it kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, Aaron, when we were talking about, the Rangers and the A's acquiring players and, through trade. A lot of it sometimes does come down to circumstance. It's not necessarily, the Angels have had a lot of picks that they haven't signed, but on the other hand, they haven't had as many picks in the first place. When you're going to sign guys like Gary Matthews Jr., and give up draft picks for these guys, you're going to sign a lot of high-priced free agents. You're not going to have the draft picks, and your farm system is going to suffer as a result.
Right.
Now, if you're the Angels and you're winning your division and you're winning almost 100 games or so every year, and you're pretty much a lock to win the AL West like you were last year, that's a good thing. Maybe you don't have the World Series ring right now, but certainly a 100-win season like they had last year was certainly an outstanding result. So you can't complain too much when that model is certainly producing a 100-win season for you. How sustainable that is in the future, we'll obviously have to wait and find out. But to me, what stands out about the system is just the lack of really high-level elite prospects in the system. Nick Einhart, number one. He really struggled with his command this year, and he's never been a guy who really misses a lot of bats.
He's never been a guy that you would project as this guy has a chance to be a number one, a true bona fide number one. I don't think anyone's ever thought that. Maybe his ceiling is he a number two down the road? I mean, I don't know, but right now, certainly, I think he's one of the weaker number ones in baseball.
Yeah, and I think you look at the rest of the system too, and there's some talented guys there. There's some guys who are going to be useful. Jordan Walden, certainly an excellent power arm at number two. But you look at the rest of the system and you see some of the tools and some of the talents and the skills that the guys have there. But, even at number three, Peter Borges, 19 walks and 509 at-bats.
Yeah.
Certainly, and I saw him play this year, and, certainly his talent and his feel on the bases and, in the field and a line drive swing. Certainly some things about him stand out, but it's a pretty big question mark about him going forward, how that's gonna, mature going forward. Hank Conger, will he stick at catcher? There's certainly some question marks there. One guy I do like though in the Angels system that didn't make the top 10, Will Smith, a pretty polished left-hander. Again, going back to talking about our polished 18-year-old kids again, but he was a left-hander, pitched in the Pioneer League this year. Barely walked anyone, had more than a strikeout per inning this year, and he does have good stuff from the left side. He's a 6'5", projectable left-hander with a good breaking ball. He's a guy I like. Another guy I like in that system, Fabio, he goes by Fabio Mesa or Fabio Martinez Mesa. He was in the Dominican Summer League this year, throwing up to 94 to 96 miles an hour. I think he could be he had an outstanding year for himself as a 17-year-old in the Dominican Summer League this year. I could see him be another kind of guy in the Dominican Summer League to watch for next year to make that jump over to the U.S. in 2009. But in terms of the rest of the system, especially when you compare it and contrast it to, you know, the Rangers and the A's, it's, I think you're right, Aaron. It's not quite up to par with some of the, you know, those systems in baseball.
You know, I think I would even put the Mariners system right now ahead of the Angels system, which is,
I would too,
which is, I think, quite a shift from past years. But I'm excited about a few of these young Mariners players, and you and I were talking a moment ago before we came on the air here about how the Mariners system really has an international flavor to it. This top 10 list, I should say. You know, and traditionally, of course, this is a system that you think about, and you think about a lot of college players kind of dominating. But now, I mean, we're looking at Greg Hallman here. We're looking at Truon Falk and Juan Ramirez, and you know, even Michael Saunders and Philippe Amon are a couple of Canadians.
Only two of the top 10 guys were born in the United States.
So it's it makes for, I think, an interesting mix here. A lot of guys who I think are unknowns to a lot of people in baseball, and but they got a lot of tools here. I mean, I think this is kind of a high risk, high reward top 10. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd characterize it as that, and certainly I think Greg Hallman kind of epitomizes that in terms of the high risk, high reward. I don't think anyone really doubts his athleticism or, you know, his power and his speed. You know, but will he ever put it together and learn how to, you know, recognize pitches a little bit better? You know, and he walked 32 times and struck out about 142 times as well. So, you know, you look at that, and you talk to scouts about his pitch recognition and, you know, his plate discipline. It's pretty questionable right now. That said, he reached Double-A as a 20-year-old and had success there. So, you know, there's certainly high reward potential, but a lot of risk. I think people like to drop the name Alfonso Soriano whenever they see a guy who has a lot of power and a lot of speed. On the other hand, I think Soriano showed a little bit more plate discipline and a little bit better pitch recognition when he was in the minor leagues than I think most people really give him credit for, especially in contrast to a guy like Hallman. But certainly the high reward potential is there with Hallman. But I think you're right, there is a lot of that high risk, high reward type talent in this system.
Well, you know, it's nice to at least have some players to get excited about, and you know, that's the fun in this whole game, Ben. I think is looking into the future here, and I think that we've looked at some systems today that have a pretty bright future. You know, I can't wait to see some of these Rangers and Athletics prospects in particular as they get to the big leagues, we'll find out then, you know, once and for all, who does have the best system.
Check back in 10 years.
That's right.
Once again, my name is Ben Badler, alongside Aaron Fitt. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.